Kira. Weekends from 11 on 2FM.
Oh my goodness. Hello and welcome, friends. Come in and sit down.
That was another amazing weekend of radio shows, Chris.
Listen, you can depend on Kira and I to give you some quality content. That's all you need.
Shooting guns.
It was finger guns. I saw it. It was very exciting.
Did you see it? Did you see what I did there?
Yeah. Everyone saw it as well that was listening. And they're like, wow, is that Kira doing finger guns?
Chris, we talked about Stormzy on Saturday, didn't we? And how artists write songs to when they mess up and try and win their loved ones back.
Sure.
And you thought the girls wouldn't be into that. And I was telling you, if the artist was good enough or the poet was good enough, you'd totally take them back.
Sure, it's creepy if the song or poem is rubbish. But then if it's Stormzy writing you a cool love track or Drake, you're like, all right, I'll give him another chance. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Also, as well as that, we were discussing Saturday being the day that you were most likely to lapse back into your old ways and break your New Year's resolution.
Yeah.
Terrible stuff. Terrible tragedies.
I've been eating chicken, Chris.
Yeah, Kira.
I fell off the vegan bandwagon.
Kira told me she was going to try and not eat chicken for the month of January.
I got to the second week of January and I literally had a craving for it.
I think you told me on something like the 8th or something.
But I did try. Yeah. I ate like chicken strippers that weren't chicken.
Mm-hmm. And once. It was just... at the start of January.
Yeah.
Wow.
I even sent Chris a picture of the box.
I did.
And it was kind of like proving to him that I am doing this.
But wasn't it so funny? Because I texted you back being like a dutiful mom. I was like, oh, they look nice. They'll be nice, won't they? Like I was really trying to encourage it, looking at it going, ah. But like, listen, here as well as that on Sunday.
Sorry.
We discussed, speaking of veganism, we discussed how cows are able to communicate with each other. And how this is big news. Cows have friends, apparently.
Like, cows can communicate to each other about food, about the weather. That's basically myself and Chris's relationship. So now I can't eat cows.
No, cows have a more complex relationship than Kira and I.
Milk?
Listen, that doesn't kill the old cows. That'd be like, I don't even want to go to what analogy that would be like with you and I. That's just eating it.
Exactly.
But we also discussed as well the...
What did...
The intricacies of growing a mustache in South Korea.
I do see one side of it because, again, if people started walking around with that Adolf Hitler type mustache, I mean, that is going to bring back an awful lot of trauma for an awful lot of people.
Yeah, we wouldn't like that.
So Harry Harris, he's the UN ambassador for South Korea. He's causing a little bit of a stir with his mustache.
Yeah, 100%. Listen, it's all in the podcast. That and more. You'll love it. You'll enjoy it. Here we go. Give it 5 stars. Good man.
Now,
how are your New Year's resolutions going?
Well, I was just about to ask you the same question and I don't want to admit how mine are going. Until you admit how yours are going.
I mean, mine aren't going particularly well. They're not going terribly either.
Mine aren't going terribly. I'm still on the salary juice.
Hold on, Kira. You told me something in confidence which I am now going to spring on you. Yours are going terribly.
No, I'm still going to the gym.
Are you?
I'm still drinking celery juice.
Okay. Are you sure?
Yeah.
You're not sick of the celery juice?
I'm so sick of it.
Oh, there you go. Oh, but you're
so
still drinking it.
I'm still drinking it.
Oh, sorry. When you told me you were sick of it, I presumed you'd stopped drinking.
No.
Oh, good
one. I think I maybe stopped for 2 mornings.
But otherwise, you're still at it.
And then the guilt got at me. And I also had celery in the fridge.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I misinterpreted the situation completely.
I had a moment about a week ago, though, where it was around 8:30 in the evening and I opened the fridge. And usually it's like, oh, no, there's no wine. But this time I was like, oh, no, there's no celery. And I had to leave the house to go and buy celery. And I was like, oh, Kira, you've changed.
Wow.
Yeah.
What an utter dweeb of a thing to say when you open the fridge, there's no celery.
Oh, no, Jesus, there's no celery. Anyway, according to Deliveroo, according to data collected by Deliveroo in 2019, this is the weekend where people give in to temptation. And there's a significant jump on Friday, the 18th of January at around 5:28 p.m. when people start ordering food and stuff like that, with orders of ice cream and cakes and alcohol. Yeah.
Is that right? So Deliveroo were able to, of course, with the masses of data they'd have, they were able to track and they were able to say, right, we can kind of see when the population just says, I've had enough of this and I'm going back to junk food.
So interesting. It was Friday, the 18th of January at 5:28 p.m. when people give in to the temptation. I love how there's actual time and date and statistics for this time last year.
Of course, because they're either on their way home from work or they just got home and they're like, you know what, I've had enough. 2 weeks back with all the co-workers that I hate, I can't do it.
Well, I get the psychology behind it because, you know, a lot of people are sick of all the debauchery that happened at Christmas anyway, so their bodies and their heads need a break. So obviously you're kind of strongest, I guess, that first week of January, you know. Second week of January, you're still strong, but you tend to wane a little bit. And then you get into the third week of January, which turns out to be the longest month of your life. And then that's when You've kind of given scent.
The bleakness comes up again,
like,
and everything.
Honestly, I looked at my phone and I was like, it's the 18th of January. Oh my God, it feels like the 40th.
It does.
Like, it really does. And I'm not saying that as in, like, oh, part of a joke.
No.
But it really does.
It feels like the 7th week of January.
Yeah,
it really does. It feels terrible. However, it is interesting because, as you say, for the first week back after Christmas, I was sick of junk food. Mm. Absolutely sick of junk food and alcohol. And you just naturally don't want any. But then, as you say, it starts to look tempting again just around now, middle of January. So apparently, today, because today is the 18th of January, today's a Saturday, of course, unlike last year. However, today is the day, according to all this data, that you'd be most likely to break your New Year's resolution. Kira was giving me the tea on Stormzy.
You know, it's kind of one of these things where I was like, he's obviously messed up and he's obviously regretting it now, because for the last couple of weeks, and also he wrote a song about her in his album.
Mm-hmm.
But he has been just waxing lyrical about his ex, Maya Jama. They were together for about 4 years. And they split last September, I think.
Okay.
And obviously he's still thinking about her and he's still singing about her. But obviously I think the regret is getting big now, you know.
Sure.
He has called her an amazing woman, a star girl, and he's admitted this week that he wants to marry her.
Okay, so let me ask you this. This is because we're reading between the lines here and we're presuming Stormzy might have maybe messed
not
up a
treated
little
her the
bit.
Best way.
Sure, mm-hmm.
He wrote a song about lessons in which he admits he treated her wrong, regrets what he did, and would give anything to fix his mistakes.
I see. Okay.
He did come out, though, and he said this. He was on Charlemagne the God.
Charlemagne the God, yes.
That's it, yeah. And he said, I didn't cheat. I was out publicly and we had broken up, being very inconsiderate to the fact I'd just come out of the most public relationship. No one was in a more public relationship than me or my missus at the time. We was the most public relationship in Britain apart from Harry and Meghan. Now, Stormzy, I don't know about that. Anyway. We broke up. I went out and I acted disrespectfully. I was out in clubs, barefaced, while I knew the world still thought I was in a relationship, looking like I didn't give an F. I didn't cheat. It wasn't cheating, but it did need to be cheating for it to be
okay.
a disrespect.
Now I see the other side of this. Right, fair enough.
Now,
okay.
Then Charlemagne the God was obviously like, Stormzy, do you still love her? And it was clear he didn't need to pause on that question for even a second. He said, with all my heart, 100%, Maya is an amazing woman. There's nothing more I could ask for. She's incredible. The pedestal I put her on, she's amazing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So he feels now that he's messed up a little bit and you're saying this looks like maybe he's trying to worm his way back in. Kira, can I ask you a question?
When you're a superstar and you can write an album track about somebody, you know, you'd give them a second.
I was going to say, would you? Is it not really cheesy? Like when Offset did it with Cardi B, spoke about this before.
That was ridiculous.
And it was the most cringe nonsense I have ever seen.
Anyone that doesn't remember, how could you forget? But
Cardi B and Offset are the most public relationship since Harry and Meghan.
That's
Kira,
so true.
Okay?
That is so true.
Sure.
The rapper Offset, he interrupted Cardi B's set at a music festival. I think it was late 2018.
Sure.
And he had an arrangement of roses that spelled out, take me back, Cardi. And Cardi B was so annoyed at the time, she shut down the gesture and she spoke to her husband off mic.
Because it's embarrassing nonsense.
Exactly. She paused her performance until Offset left the stage.
So,
but they did get back together,
Chris. Kieran, this is what I'm asking you, right? If you had been going out with someone famous or otherwise, whatever, it doesn't matter. And then they start doing all this. So, okay, imagine, right, an ex of yours walks in here with roses now, like Offset did with Cardi B.
Mm-hmm.
You're not
like,
taking him back, are
like,
you?
How'd you get through security?
Exactly.
But like, out.
But then after that question, you'd also be like, what a cringe-ass load of nonsense, wouldn't you?
But if somebody created a piece of art for you, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that? But like Drake's always at this with Rihanna and stuff, and it's embarrassing.
Mm.
Like as
makes
a woman,
some, makes would, for some good tracks though.
Sure, but would you not feel weird and creeped out and
if it was a really good song, no.
Really?
Yeah.
So it depends on how good the track is.
Look at The Sweetest Thing. U2 or Bono wrote The Sweetest Thing because he was working on the Joshua Tree album and he didn't make it home in time for his wife Ali's birthday.
Yeah.
So he wrote The Sweetest Thing. Uh-huh. Do you remember that video?
They're going through Dublin
they're
on the bus.
They're going through Dublin to the streets of Dublin. Boyzone, I think,
are
making appearances.
Yeah, sure,
Irish
yeah.
dancers. Like, that's gorgeous. The Sweetest Thing, I personally feel, is a lovely love song. As Bono said himself, it's like, it's kind of like a bitter love song. But he did. He wrote that actually as a B-track for the Joshua Tree that didn't make it onto the Joshua Tree. But The Sweetest Thing became a thing in 1998.
Of course, massive.
And
yeah.
I remember, I love that song. And I remember hearing it was like, oh my God, Bono wrote that song for his wife. Because I heard when I was a teenager, he forgot her birthday.
That's what I
obviously,
heard
when
well,
you,
yeah.
you grow up and you obviously look into things, you discover he happened to be working on her birthday. But I think The Sweetest Thing is a gorgeous song.
So what I'm asking you is, there's a certain level of this
I mean,
weird,
Chris,
excessive
I'd have a
creepiness.
Standard.
Yeah. So as in you wouldn't take Offset just showing up going, I want you back.
Look at John Legend having written All of Me. Now, he didn't write All of Me to try and win his...
No,
his,
that wasn't an apology or anything.
No, that wasn't an apology. But that is one of the most downloaded and listened to love songs of all time, All of Me. And it's so funny because Chrissy Teigen's like, I'm so sick of listening to that song, where everyone else is like, oh, it's gorgeous, yeah, yeah, and the person sure. is All of Me and look at her secret smile and, you know, all that sort of stuff. I think if it's good enough, well, then I'd accept it. If it was a bad poem, I'd be like, good luck.
See, yeah, this is what I'm saying. So it really just does depend on how good the track is.
Yeah.
And it's either creepy or class, depending on, okay, fair enough, right. So is what Stormzy is doing...
Sorry, it depends on what your standard is.
Sure. And Kira, obviously, very high standard.
Very high standard.
Kira, is what Stormzy is doing for you, is it creepy or is it? Do you think it's going to work on Maya Jama?
I don't think it's creepy, but I think he's full of regrets and I hope it works for him.
Very diplomatic answer.
Yeah.
That's like before a match when they're like, are Ireland going to win? And Kira's like, well, listen, we'll see. I mean, we have the players. We'll see what we can do. All right, Kira. So you're not sure.
If there's love there between the two of them, I'm sure they'll find a way.
If Stormzy plays some quality football, you never know. I hear you. All right. Kira, you know what? You and I, we're always so ahead of the curve.
Mm-hmm.
I remember us speaking to a lady in Texas who was running a service like this. Would you believe I looked it up and I checked the date? It was 7 years ago.
7 years ago?
We're just such innovators, Kira. We're always so ahead of things.
So this lady, Chris, she ran an organisation, and am I right in saying this, that provided nude cleaning service?
In Texas.
In Texas.
In the US, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you something, Kira. This has made a few headlines this week. NakedCleanersIreland.com is apparently, like, I have to say, the website's pretty sparse. However, naked cleaning jobs with excellent earning potential. They say on the website, which, by the way, I'm reading off my phone because RTE's computers don't let you on it, which is probably a testament to their robust security measures. It says, naked cleaning jobs with excellent potential. We are currently recruiting attractive and reliable male and females in every town, village and city across Ireland. What do you think, Kira?
So this Irish company is looking to hire people to clean houses naked for up to €50 an hour.
But here's the thing. I'm looking on the website here and it goes into great details. There's all types of different jobs you can apply for, Kira.
Like what sort of jobs?
Well, let me run them by
Break
you.
Break it
okay?
down for me. Yeah, I'm interested.
Let me see if you're comfortable with this,
yeah,
Kira.
Yeah, okay.
Fully nude cleaning. Oh. So you're completely naked cleaning the house.
Now, okay, straight away.
Yeah.
Have you ever used bleach, Chris? Have you ever bleached a toilet or a sink?
I wrecked one of my tops using that bleach.
Exactly. So I don't know, can I be fully naked and cleaning with bleach?
Sure.
So I'm just pointing out some of the hazards. Okay, go
on. So, Kira, if you're not interested in fully nude cleaning, they have semi-nude cleaning but wearing a sexy uniform. This is an actual title on there.
Really?
I'm not making this up. Semi-nude cleaning with sexy uniform. What do you
now,
think, Kira?
Here's the problem. Would you have to wear high heels? Because let me tell you something, it'd be very hazardous when you're on the stairs and you're hoovering and you're trying to get into the grooves, but also keep your balance on a pair of high heels.
I hear you.
I'm just going to say that.
Yeah. But
I'd be open to it.
Okay, so that's your considering. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, here's another one for you. Bikini cleaning.
Oh, no, God. It's January.
What?
It's January.
Oh, yeah, fair.
I've eaten consistently for 2 months now.
Oh, I hear. So you don't want to be... Oh, okay. And then also...
Also, you'd be freezing.
Then, Kira, they also just have no nudity cleaning. Would you be willing to clean someone's house
now,
for 50 quid?
That's what
I do. So, cleaning you're okay with. It's the whole wearing a nude uniform outfit, sexy maid thing that has you a little thrown.
Yeah.
They say our business model is simple, fun, playful, sexy. Attractive men and women work in the nude, shorts, or with bikinis.
I'd
and
just
provide...
be pure awkward. I'm the person that's in the house and, like, you know, the plumber will come over or the carpenter. If there's any work to be done in the house, I'll be there during the day too. And I always, you know me, I overcompensate, Chris. I make so much chit-chat and by the end of it, I have them sitting down, having a cup of tea, telling me their life story and they're 2 hours late for the next appointment. That's what always happens to me.
I hear you. So you'd probably just end up doing that. You'd end up doing nude counselling when you go to these lads' houses.
Yeah.
I hear you. Yeah.
So, or if I were to hire someone to come to my house, I'd almost like be like, why are you doing this? Do you know?
Well, it says we will provide cleaning and light housekeeping in the privacy of your own home or office. Like, I'll go upstairs right in 2FM and I'll say, lads, don't worry, I've hired some nude cleaners. They'll all be thrilled. While you sit back, have a drink, relax and enjoy the view and entertainment of our maids at work. There you go. Here.
And it's definitely they're looking for males and females.
They emphasise males many times and females. Everyone. Everyone's included in this queue. So, listen, Kira and I might apply. We're not sure yet.
Would you do it?
I would do it, like, in a uniform, maybe. Mm-hmm. But, like, if I... Because, you see, lads' sexy uniforms, quote-unquote, are very different. Like, I'd just be showing up at your house in, like, an army uniform doing the cleaning. Do you know what I mean? I'd be showing up at your house dressed as a
in
pilot.
A sailor suit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's fine. But, anyway, that's... That's what's going on the internet. And
look, it's given us an awful lot to think about today, Chris.
Has it?
And going forward.
Has it, yeah? Oh, good. Well, that's fantastic. Well, listen, there we go. You can check it out if you want. I'm not making this up. NakedCleanersIreland.com. And you can even share and you can get all the details there and the application. So that's very nice.
Between the songs there, we're not going to talk about it on the radio show, but me and Chris were fighting over Harry and Meghan. Not fighting, actually, because I think both of us agree. We won't get into it.
No, I think we
But I love
impassioned.
How both of us were getting so impassioned yes. talking about Harry, and now we can call them Harry and Meghan. And also, I have to hold my hands up. Now I'm really embarrassed for myself.
Why?
Because do you remember I made such a big deal out of the fact that she was going to get the title Duchess of Connacht? And I basically made a shout out to the royal family and was like, don't you come near that name because I'm the only Duchess of Connacht.
But wait, does this mean now she's no longer the Duchess of Connacht?
Well, no, she never became the Duchess
but
of Connacht.
But like Ciara, is there an opening is what I'm saying. You have to use this
to
our advantage. Yeah, but
used.
That doesn't matter. Now that we know it's there and we know Meghan's no longer in the running for it.
I'm going to change my Twitter bio to the original Duchess of Connacht.
That seems fair.
Yeah.
So she's on the ropes now, Ciara. You know
that's
what I mean?
True.
She has other things to be worrying about rather than her Duchess of Connacht title. I think now is when you just slip in, stage a coup. Ciara's the Duchess of Connacht. In fact, we're saying it now on the national airwaves. Ciara King is the Duchess of Connacht. Thank you. Ciara.
I'll never leave you. Hmm?
No, you will not. No, absolutely. You will be in your duchess hood or whatever the term for being a duchess is till you die.
Yes.
There's no way out of it.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm on one today, haven't I?
Poor broadcast coordinator Andrew just left.
Ciara
was like screaming at him and he just walked out.
Ciara threw a phone at him. I was in an argumentative mood today and I told the both of you to watch out. In fairness, at least I warned you.
Yeah. Anyway. Andrew's catching it at the moment. He's gone back outside. He's trying to look busy now. He's like looking at a computer screen and like answering a phone that isn't ringing and stuff. He's just, you know.
Anyway, let's just get on with the show, Chris.
Yeah, Ciara, you're being belligerent in here today. We're going to need to call security.
I am being belligerent and I actually feel it myself, which is very dangerous. So let's talk about...
Ciara, do you know what? You're like North Korea. See, now you can say, hey, speaking of North Korea,
yeah. Chris.
Whoa, that was... What about North Korea?
Well, the US ambassador.
Yeah.
His name is Harry Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what his parents were thinking. But anyway.
That's terrible.
His mustache, or his choice of mustache, it's getting up the South Koreans' noses, Chris.
I like what you did there, Ciara.
Thank you.
Why?
He's been criticized for his facial hair because Harry Harris, he is the US ambassador to South Korea, but he unfortunately is reminding people and many South Koreans of the days of Japanese colonial rule because of his mustache.
But hold on a second. So this dude is the American ambassador based in South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a mustache.
Yes.
And the mustache is annoying the South Koreans.
Yes.
Why?
Because I'd imagine that when the Japanese colonial rule over South Korea, that kind of style was the mustache, wasn't it? Back then.
So hold on a
particular
second.
Time.
You mean like from whatever, the 20s and 30s and 40s, some of the generals had mustaches.
Yeah.
So now this man can't
all
have a mustache.
Now, here's the thing. All 8 Japanese governors generals had sported mustaches back in the day. And because Harry Harris is Japanese American, the South Koreans are accusing him of insulting their country and his host by growing a mustache that reminds many of the South Koreans of the days of Japanese colonial rule. Because at the time, I mean, there's a bitter wartime history there between the two countries, but at the time, 8 Japanese governor generals had sported mustaches. Okay, so the best way I describe this to you is if this US ambassador was the ambassador for Germany and he had a mustache that was very like Adolf Hitler.
The little kind of whatever,
okay.
Like postage stamp
and we all
mustache.
Know it. As soon as you
a Hitler
think of
mustache,
the image,
of
a
course.
Hitler mustache, okay. So the South Koreans feel this way about Harry Harris and his mustache because it reminds them of these 8 Japanese people that ruled at a particular time where it was a bitter kind of wartime history between
no,
the two countries.
No, no, no.
Does that make sense?
No, Ciara. These South Koreans now, Ciara, are being too sensitive here. I'm sorry. I know that's not the most diplomatic of language from me. But I'll tell you why. Because the Hitler mustache is associated with Hitler. I'll tell you something. This US ambassador, Harry Harris, and you're right, it's a very unfortunate name. He just looks like a dapper, older man. I mean, like
he
Freddie Mercury had this mustache.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, loads of people have this mustache. It's not the same thing at all. The man, this
Poirot.
Is nearly 100 years later.
Poirot, exactly. He had this mustache, you're right.
Tom Selleck has this mustache.
Yeah.
And he's gorgeous, Ciara.
Well, that's true.
So, I mean, are we going to start persecuting this man because he has a wonderfully maintained, thick bushy mustache? I'd hope not.
Well, he said that he's been singled out because of his background. So that is what the US ambassador, Harry Harris, is saying, because he is Japanese-American.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and obviously South Korea may feel about the history with Japan.
Sure.
You know, and all the rest. He said, my mustache, for some reason, has become a point of some fascination here. I have been criticized in the media here, especially on social media, because of my ethnic background, because I'm Japanese-American.
He
said that he'd been largely clean-shaven during his 40-year naval career and had decided to grow a mustache to mark the start of his diplomatic career.
He's letting his hair down.
I wanted to take a break between my life as a military officer and my new life as a diplomat. And that's what he said last month. And that's according to the Korea Times. I tried to get taller, he said, but I couldn't grow any taller. And I tried to get younger, but I couldn't get any younger. But I could grow a mustache, so I did that.
He's doing the metaphorical equivalent of taking his tie off, opening the top button of his shirt. He's saying, I'm in retirement and I'm going to relax a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So there you go.
If the problem is that this mustache style is like the Japanese generals.
Well, see, now it's a thing.
Why doesn't he shave it to being a Hitler mustache? And then he can be like, see, it doesn't look like the Japanese guys anymore. Now it just like looks like a small amount of facial hair under my nose. This doesn't offend you, does it? Doesn't he do that, Kieran?
Yeah, no, I understand.
That'll be fine.
I understand. But a newspaper, the Korea Times, has said that his mustache has become associated with the latest US image of being disrespectful and even coercive towards Korea. And Harris often has been ridiculed for not being an ambassador, but a governor general. And
because the governor generals had this mustache.
Yes.
This, God, it's amazing what'll whip a country up. Like the whole Leo and the RIC thing 2 weeks ago here. This man and a mustache.
Yeah.
God almighty.
I think that people should focus on, I don't know, denuclearization instead of this man's mustache. But look, hey, if it offends loads of people, well then.
I don't know. This man's mustache might have nuclear capability.
But you know what?
You
there is different ways, Chris, and we'll get back to this maybe after. There's different ways to offend in a country. Like, I didn't know. I've never been to Australia or New Zealand, okay? I didn't know that if you don't sit in the front seat of a taxi over in Australia and New Zealand, that is actually a rude thing to do. I'd have automatically, let's say, got into the back of a taxi. Like, you don't show your feet or the soles of your feet if you're traveling around Asia.
Do you not?
No, you don't. It's disrespectful.
Oh.
You know, so there is different things that I wouldn't have known myself.
I think, though, there's a bit of that taxi thing here, because I remember you and I had a debate, Kira, on this very radio station a few years ago. Is it rude if you're on your own to get into the back of the taxi?
It's not rude at all.
I don't know. Because, I mean, I remember, Kira, this set people off. If you get into a taxi in Ireland, mm-hmm. front or back.
Am I right? If there's anyone from Australia or New Zealand listening, is that true? Are you automatically expected to get into the front seat of a taxi over in Australia or New Zealand? Or if there's anyone over there right now, or if there's anyone that's ever been, let us know. In Ireland, Chris, it's much of a muchness. You get into the front or you get into the back. I always get into the front when I'm on my own.
You see, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So do I, because I'd feel rude getting into the back.
Yeah, but who are you doing it for? Maybe the taxman doesn't want to talk to us either.
So then that's what ends up happening.
Exactly.
Because I think I'm going to be sound and I'm like, know what? I'm going to sit in the front with this man. And then I sit there with him and we sit there in silence for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I go, thanks, that's great. And we get out.
Anyway, 515.
I could have just sat in the back. But anyway, mustaches are diplomatic incidents. Where do you sit in? Where do you think Harry Harris sits when he gets into a taxi, Kira? That's the real question.
In South Korea, I just don't know, Chris.
Does he sit in the front, in the back?
I just don't know.
Kira showing me this weirdly. In a way, I think I would find what happened to this guy kind of wonderfully peaceful in a way. I know it's being like kind of hailed as, oh, wouldn't that be scary? I think I'd kind of enjoy a few hours of this.
So a man in America got himself locked into a 24-hour fitness center. So basically a gym. So this 24-hour fitness center, it closes from 12 until 4 a.m.
Sure.
So technically not 24 hours, Chris.
Come on now, like.
But anyway, he came out and he realized that he had been locked in and he didn't want to kind of go to the emergency exits because he was afraid that he was going to set alarms off. So what he did is what normal people would do right now. He went around taking photos of himself on his own in the gym.
That is, in a way though, kind of fun.
Yeah,
I would love to be in a building totally on my own.
But here's the thing, if you've got all the gym to yourself, okay, you know when you go to the gym, you have to queue to use the weights. You have to queue to get a space. Then when you have it all to yourself, I bet you're just wandering around kind of knocking weights over as opposed to actually doing any work. Now, this gym did have a swimming pool though. So he swam a couple of laps of the pool. He had the pool to himself.
So he did the most dangerous thing he could have done while on his own, which was get into a huge pool of water when there's no lifeguards or anything. That's what he decided to do.
Now he's doing
this totally wrong.
He was stuck inside for more than 2 hours. And then after taking a few kind of amusing pictures, he was rescued by the Sandy Police Department. So there you go.
But Kira, have you never been in like a totally empty building? Like, you know what I mean? There's a certain
when we used to work at night, yeah.
Sometimes, right? If we were working at night and then we had things to do later, or I had something to do like on a computer, just for my own sake, sometimes I'd stay in RTE when everyone has gone home and all the lights are off, there's something kind of peaceful about it.
Yeah, well, it's very peaceful because you don't have to deal with any other human being.
Exactly. You know? Kira, it's wonderful. Mm. I'm telling you
what
something.
What would you do? And I know this is a very philosophical and deep question, Chris, for a Sunday morning. But what would you do if you literally just left your house one day and you were the only person left on the street in the city? You know.
Sure.
You could go into any shop. You could go into any pub, place, everywhere. Everywhere was available to.
Can I ask you though?
Anything was available
I just
to.
Need a few quick parameters here before I really think about this question. Is this a doomsday scenario? Like, as in, is there a zombie apocalypse? Is there a nuclear bomb I have to worry about?
I haven't really thought it through, but there's just nobody.
So yeah, it's just
maybe,
a nice kind of...
Maybe there's a pretty girl rummaging through some rubbish down the street.
But mostly there's nothing too bad.
Yeah.
Like, as in, it's not like there's any threat if I go
outside.
No,
it's not like The Walking Dead.
Okay. Oh, then I have to think. So I would just basically have Ireland to myself for a day. Oh. Oh, now we're talking.
Okay, what would you do? 51552.
I have to think about that. 51552. You're like this guy who gets locked in the gym, but you just have a few hours.
So off the top of my head, I'm like, oh, I go to the cinema. And then I realize,
what a rubbish thing to
show. Shut up, Chris. But then I was like, but I don't know how to work a projector. I wouldn't know how to work the actual movies in the cinema.
I'd pay my taxes. That's what I do. Wow, Kira, that sounds like so much
right,
fun.
Chris.
You go to the cinema. No, no, I have to think outside the box here. We're going to do something fun. If you were like this dude, you get locked in
cinema.
For a few hours. What an awful suggestion.
A couple of movies that I haven't seen, okay?
Yeah, you'd be there going, this projector, Jesus, I didn't realise we're still on film. I don't think it's on film anymore. I think a lot of the time it comes on a CD now.
Oh, that probably makes sense, doesn't it?
I think, anyway. But listen, 51552.
You'd have to pay €25 for a thing of popcorn.
Do you know what? I'd pop the popcorn myself. I'd go behind that cinema counter and I'd do it myself. I'd say, I'm helping myself.
You're still slagging me, aren't you?
No, no, at this point now I'm actually like, no, I'm not paying €20 for a popcorn and a drink. You're dead right, Kira. Now you've got me interested. Anyway, listen, 51552, what would you do if you were the last man and or woman on Earth / in Ireland? You had a few hours to just run around, run wild.
Somebody says, I once got locked into a department store. It wasn't as fun as it sounds. It was pitch black and we had tripped the motion sensors alarm.
Yeah, see, in Kira and I's fantasy here, everything's fine.
Yeah.
You're not like tripping motion sensor alarms or locked in the pitch black or anything like that. We're just having fun. Kira, I don't know how I feel about this because whenever I read a study like this, now it doesn't last long, but I go through a period of going, I can never eat meat again.
I can never
eat a burger again.
I know.
Devastates me.
Yeah.
Kira, published in Scientific Reports in December, mm-hmm. cows apparently are capable of communicating with each other in quite a complex way.
Well, they discovered, what they did was they sampled 333 cow vocalizations and they analyzed them, okay? And they discovered that cows are able to give cues in certain situations. Listen to this. They can express different emotions, including excitement, arousal, engagement, and distress.
See, I can't know that cows are complex beings.
I'm the same
as you. I can't know that.
I saw this and I was like, no, Kira, do not click into this article. Do not read it. Walk away now and you'll be saved. But oh, no. I got into it. Now cows can communicate with each other and they can express emotions and they have friends and cows are friends and they're one big family.
Yeah.
And they can get aroused and they can show excitement and also distress.
I think that's what got to me.
Yeah.
I read that the cow is capable of having a friend.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, no, I can't eat that cow's friend. I can't eat the friend. I can't eat the other cow.
Yeah, I know. Because
can't be
then you've
eating.
Got a cow who's without a friend.
Because I ate him.
I know.
Literally because
and
I ate him.
Obviously, animals communicate to each other and they communicate in so many different ways. But we're just after discovering, as I said, with this one specific study about cows and how they communicate to each other. So it's different vocalizations than the cow moos.
Yeah, but look, fine. I get that some cows, like, or whatever, animals, like a dolphin, great, because I'm not eating a dolphin. Dolphins can have all the friends they want. The problem is, Kira, this affects me.
I know. But here's the thing. Animals have been able to communicate with each other since time began, Chris. We're only just learning this now because people have decided to take a notion and kind of sample.
We've a lot better ways of kind of researching it. We've a lot more robust kind of science behind it.
The blue whale is the poet of the animal kingdom and how it communicates.
A whale, yeah, beautifully.
Beautifully.
Oh, God,
they
yeah.
literally lyrically sing to each other.
I could listen to that whale stuff that's on YouTube for hours.
Elephants have a fascinating way of communicating with each other when they're away from their herds. So much so that humans cannot pick up on this low frequency that elephants emit to each other. Humans feel it as pressure.
Sure.
But they don't actually understand that elephants are like, here, lads, I got lost on the way back from the pub. Where are you at?
So it's one elephant going like, I'm far away. Will you guys wait up?
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Yeah, no, it's really fascinating. Tree hoppers, you know, the little insects.
Yeah.
What they do, and that's amazing, they send vibrations on the branches to each other. to warm up predators or to be like, hey lads, I'm coming down.
Sure, I hear you.
The treehopper send vibrations through the branches of the trees that they're in. You know, the bats are so blind. They have to send off
like sonar, radar,
yeah, again,
basically, don't they?
The bats talk to each other with the frequencies of their pitch and stuff like that. And they have to really communicate with each other because they are partially blind. They have no idea what's going on or where they are.
Sure, and they so do a lot of their kind of understanding of their environment through the sounds they emit.
Mole rats are mad. They bang their heads off tunnels. And that's how they communicate to other mole rats down in tunnels. Like, the whole thing is just fascinating.
Sure, but mole rats, crickets...
Your dog
WhatsApps
me
any
all
of them.
The time.
Hmm? Huh? Yeah, but they're, I'm not eating any of these dudes. I'm not eating mole rats or crickets or dolphins or whatever, bats.
Gorillas have over 20 different ways to communicate.
Sure, and again, so, I'm not eating them.
I'm very surprised that we're all so surprised about the cows, but you're right.
No, the problem is we eat the cows. I don't want to attach emotion or intelligence to a thing that I'm having on the way home at 4 a.m.
I know.
As like a bit of fun. Mm. You know, nothing to me, but I've eaten a cow's friend. Kira, I watched Babe, that film. Remember Pig in the City?
I know.
I watched that when I was a kid and then told my parents I was going to be a vegetarian for like 15 minutes or whatever. But this is the problem.
I know.
We can't attach emotional significance to these things. And I'm telling you, Kieran, maybe I'm being like wild conspiracy theorist Alex Jones level here.
This is when I knew, though. Did you ever see that video of the cows being released from the shed after a long winter?
And they are
playing.
Did
you see their reaction?
They're frolicking.
They're jumping and they're frolicking in the green grass. And that was when I went, hold up, wait a second. I've been fed by the mainstream media all my life. The cows are dumb.
Sure.
You know?
Yes.
And also, I grew up in an area where we had to avoid cow excrement an awful lot when we were dancing through the fields.
Of course.
Do you know?
Sure.
When I saw that video, I was like, wait a second. They know they're free.
Of course, because they're complex, intelligent beings
who have
friends.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Chris and Kira cow in a field. There's a cow and he has a great friend and then one of them's going to be eaten, Kira.
Oh, no.
I can't live with that responsibility anymore. And I think with all this new green stuff, like as in plant-based dieting and all that and veganism taking such a huge turn, I think some of this is intentional, if you catch my drift. I think all of these, you know, well-publicized things now that we're understanding how complex and intelligent some of these animals are, it's to make us think twice about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not giving up meat either, so that cow's going to be eaten. You know, Kira? And that's the problem I'm facing. So I would like no more statements about how intelligent animals are.
Okay.
I want to think they're all silly and that there's no problem with eating them.
Okay.
Otherwise, we'll lose our minds.
I know.
Absolutely. Hey, you know what? We didn't get to do this yesterday, and Kira and I do love... you know what I'm saying, tutting and showing utter disdain when tourists go to other countries and behave badly. But I was actually very disappointed to see, have you ever heard of this Instagram star Vitaly? Vitaly, I was disappointed with him because Vitaly kind of is this very bombastic, very macho influencer on Instagram.
He's an idiot.
He's also an idiot.
Sorry,
yes.
Chris.
No. So we were getting to the idiot part. Don't worry. I was just trying to be diplomatic for a few seconds. And a lot of his posts are like, you know, him and with women in bikinis
Okay.
He's a top lad, Kira.
So
he's
then it doesn't surprise me that idiot, who people allow to be an influencer, can I just add, climbed on top of one of the ancient wonders of the world to take pictures for his said following on Instagram.
His following, Kira, of 3.1 million
idiots.
On Instagram. Yeah.
Idiot.
3.1 million. However,
idiots.
He took a picture of himself on top of the pyramid. He went to Egypt, climbed up one of the pyramids and took a picture of himself
and
up
there.
And
he claims to have spent 5 days in an Egyptian jail. I thought there'd be a way higher sentence for that. Now, maybe Egyptian teenagers are having some drinks and climbing the pyramids and the police are absolutely, their heads are wrecked them. I don't know. But to do that, to damage one of the... We don't have many wonders of the world. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Definitely not anymore. Have you seen modern architecture?
Sure.
And then this idiot climbs on top of a pyramid and I'm sure did some sort of damage.
Even touching it does damage to it.
Exactly.
Don't touch it. Don't go near it.
Posting it on his Instagram, he's got 3.1 followers. You throw enough crap at a wall, something's going to stick. Some other idiot's going to try that.
Here, do you know what's wonderful as well? Do you know what's great about this? This man, he was so disrespectful. He spent 5 days in an Egyptian prison and he has learned absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. Because he says, no words can explain what I just went through these past 5 days. I've been in jail many times, but this one was by far the very worst. I saw horrible things that I don't wish upon anyone. He then added, was it worth it? F yeah. So
he then later shared a video of his experience in which he said the stunt was for a good cause and called for viewers to stop the war and donate to the Australian bushfire crisis.
Uh-huh. That's what you do then. When you get in trouble and when you're seen as distasteful for some reason, you say, no, I was raising awareness. And then you choose whatever's going on at the moment. So he chose the Australian fires and the war. Just the war in general.
I don't know, Chris. Maybe
he just needs to stop the war, Ciara.
Yeah, true.
Next time Ciara and I do something that's offensive or in bad taste, I'll be like, no, that was to stop.
We were doing it to raise money for the Australian bushfires.
And to stop the war, Ciara. Mm-hmm. That's why we were doing it.
There was also 6 tourists arrested, Chris, in Machu Picchu.
What were they up to? Were they trying to stop the war?
They were raising money. No, I'm only joking. They were caught in a certain place in Machu Picchu where tourists are not allowed to go. There were 6 of them. One has been detained, actually.
Oh, no.
It was a Bolivian tourist. They've been arrested in Peru. And it's for damaging Machu Picchu and damaging the wall. And you can face up, you can be banned from Peru, or you can face a long time in jail. They vandalized Machu Picchu.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't mean to be, it's a Sunday morning, and all the rest. Somebody actually defecated in a temple on Machu Picchu.
Oh, God.
Look, I know when you need to go, you need to go.
Wow.
But 6 tourists have been arrested for vandalism at Peru's Machu Picchu.
Hey, at least Vitaly didn't defecate on top of the pyramids.
Well, that's true.
In a way, he was very well behaved.
There's a lot to be said for that, Chris.
And he was trying to stop the war.
5 South American citizens and a French national damaged the world-renowned Inca city. So there you go.
God almighty.
Including the most symbolic structure of it all, the Temple of the Sun.
Do you know what I've seen which is really disappointing at tourist attractions? Even in Ireland, people have started scratching their initials onto the walls with like stone and stuff. God, it's unbelievable.
American tourists did that to the Colosseum in Rome, Chris.
We talked about this on the show. Oh my God.
Yeah, we're like the anti-crack tourist brigade here, myself and Chris. But anyway.
Oh, we make no secret of it.
I make no secret of it at all.
Absolutely.
I don't understand how people are so silly.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Me neither. Right, well, wow, Ciara. Jesus. I mean,
I think I may have been too hard on that influencer that climbed to the top of the pyramids of Giza.
Vitaly, do you think so?
I kept on calling them stupid and I kept on calling people who follow them idiots.
Oh. Well, I mean,
I said idiots a lot. And then obviously I called the 6 tourists that were also arrested in Machu Picchu. I think I called them idiots too. I was very angry.
Well, Ciara, that is idiotic behaviour.
Oh, thank you.
It's idiotic behaviour to climb to the top of the pyramids. No, we're not going to have a discussion about that, Ciara. Okay. You're not wrong on that.
Okay.
You can use the word idiot for that.
But
God almighty.
I literally called everyone in the world an idiot.
You called 3.1 million people an idiot. Yeah, you did. Because you said anyone who follows him is an idiot.
Sorry, anyone that follows... Yes.
Because then you're going to apologise next time. Be like, at the end of that apology where I was apologising for calling him an idiot. But listen, Ciara, do you know who's not an idiot? Anyone who listens to this podcast.
Well, that's true.
Exactly.
You're the only smart people out there.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh,
listen, subscribe.
Really? I really believe that, by the way.
Yeah, this is a little club here.
Yeah.
Subscribe, we'll be back soon. Give it 5 stars.
There's one guy at home being like, hey, cool.
There's one guy at home that's like, wait, I follow Vitaly and I listen to this podcast. Oh, shit, man. Yeah. Anyway, listen.
An idiot.
Yeah, you are. And you should unsubscribe. Listen, we will be back soon. For myself, Chris, goodbye. From Ciara.
Goodbye. Chris and Ciara. Weekends from 11 on 2FM.